Okay, so welcome to this deep dive. You've brought us some pretty powerful material to unpack this time, dealing with loneliness and depression, right? And we're going to be looking at your own reflections, as well as advice that you've come across, and really kind of dig into what works, right? I mean, what can we pull out of these sources that's going to be helpful for people who are going through this?
Absolutely.
Because it is, I think, something that a lot of people experience.
It's definitely a universal human experience. And one of the key things that struck me immediately, just going through the materials that you shared, is this link, this undeniable link between loneliness and depression. It's very rarely one without the other. They tend to kind of feed off of each other in a way. And it's so important, I think, as the author points out, just to acknowledge that, having these feelings is not a sign of weakness, but it's part of being human.
Absolutely. And I think that's such a huge thing to start with, because I think that if you're feeling lonely, it's very easy to feel like you're alone in your loneliness
Exactly.
and kind of isolate yourself even further. But the text is very clear. Loneliness is a common experience, and it really has an effect on our overall well-being, both mental and physical.
Absolutely.
So recognizing that link, that connection between loneliness and depression is crucial, as the author points out. And then looking at, what can we do? What are some practical strategies that we can do, actions that we can take that will actually make a difference? Okay, so let's dig a little deeper. When we talk about feeling lonely, what does that mean?
I think the author does a good job of clarifying this, that it's not just about being alone. You can be surrounded by people and still experience a sense of profound disconnection. It's that feeling of being alone, and it's really a subjective emotional state, So it's an inner feeling. And what's really interesting is that there is a lot of research showing that when people experience this feeling of social disconnection, there are similar physiological responses in the body as physical pain. So it really highlights how fundamental our need for connection is.
And the author talks about some of the very personal emotional indicators that they were experiencing. This persistent heaviness in their chest, just a real loss of interest in things that they used to enjoy doing, and this constant sense of emptiness. I mean, that paints such a powerful picture of what that internal experience is
It
like.
does. And I think many of us listening can probably relate to those feelings, unfortunately. But what I think is particularly insightful about the way the author describes it is that they draw attention to the role that our thought patterns play in fueling this loneliness. So, for example, they talk about these negative automatic thoughts, like this conviction that no one cares, even when there's evidence to the contrary. And I think this aligns very much with principles of cognitive behavioral therapy, where identifying and challenging these automatic negative thoughts is a key strategy. Like our minds can create this narrative that really reinforces our isolation.
It's like your mind is a barrier to connecting. And then, when you add anxiety on top of that, especially fear of rejection or the fear of judgment, then it can create this cycle.
It does. It's a self-perpetuating cycle.
You avoid reaching out to people because you're afraid of being judged or rejected. And then the more you do that, the more lonely you feel. And the text points out that these feelings can actually be early signs of depression, which is a really important thing to be aware of.
It is. And I really like the imagery that the author uses to depict this feeling of loneliness. They talk about this dimly lit room, this solitary, hunched figure, these muted colors. It really emphasizes that inward introspective state, but also this sense of being kind of cut off from the vibrancy and the energy of the world around them.
It's a powerful image. It's a very lonely image. And this isn't just in our heads, right? The author talks about the effect of loneliness on our physical health, mentioning things like, physical pain, fatigue, a weakened immune system. I mean, this isn't just a passing emotional state.
No, it's not. It's a real thing.
Has real consequences.
Well, it has real consequences, yeah. And it really highlights that fundamental link between our mental and physical well-being. That, loneliness, prolonged loneliness, isn't just emotionally distressing, it can actually have these significant physiological effects on the body. So, as the author points out, being able to recognize these signs in ourselves is that crucial first step towards taking meaningful action.
Okay, so we've kind of painted a picture of what this can look like.
Yeah.
And the impact that it can have.
Yeah.
The text goes on to talk about the profound value of social connections.
Yeah.
And it seems like this would be like the most direct counter.
It is.
Right, to those feelings.
Yeah, I think the author really emphasizes just how essential human connection is for right. our emotional resilience and well-being.
Yeah.
And they talk about how reaching out to loved ones felt like a lifeline mm-hmm. at that time of isolation.
Right.
Just to kind of remind themselves that they weren't really alone.
Yeah.
And this is something that's been supported by a lot of research, especially in the field of social neuroscience, mm-hmm. which has shown that when we engage in these positive social interactions, it actually triggers the release of oxytocin.
Right.
Which is often referred to as the, you know, the love hormone.
Right.
And it has mood boosting and stress reducing effects.
Yeah. And I love the way that the imagery changes.
Yeah.
You know, from that very lonely, dimly lit scene to a scene of connection and warmth and light. People are laughing, they're embracing, there's a real connection going on.
Yeah.
And it highlights the contrast.
Yeah, and the nourishing power of those social bonds.
Right.
Absolutely. And what I find particularly encouraging is that the author talks about taking those initial steps.
Yeah.
Even if they seem very small.
Right.
So, you know, starting with something as simple as just sending a text message.
Right.
Or making a quick phone call.
Yeah.
To reconnect. It can feel really daunting when you're in that state of isolation.
Yeah.
But those small gestures can be really effective.
Right.
In beginning to rebuild those connections that maybe have faded.
Absolutely. And there's this one part where the author talks about meeting a friend for coffee.
Yeah.
And how pivotal that was.
Mm-hmm.
Just the act of sharing their thoughts openly.
Yeah.
And receiving understanding
mm-hmm.
and support.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's huge.
Yes.
Just to have that person in your life that you can talk to openly without feeling judged.
Exactly. And then the text kind of broadens the scope a little bit and talks about the benefits of engaging in more, you know, community and support groups.
Yeah.
Whether that's something based on a shared interest, like a book club or fitness class or actual support groups.
Right.
And these really offer that sense of belonging.
Right.
And a chance to connect with others who maybe share similar interests or understand similar experiences.
And the author mentions how comforting it was just to be in that support group setting.
Yeah.
And hear other people's stories.
Mm.
And just the encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
The mutual encouragement.
Yeah.
It's like you realize, okay, I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
You know?
It normalizes the experience.
Yeah. Yeah. And every connection, the author points out, even seemingly small ones, contribute to this renewed sense of purpose.
Yeah.
Which is so important.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of research that actually shows that, you know,
yeah.
It's not just anecdotal. It's like, this is a fundamental human need. Social interaction is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the author also shares some really practical and creative ways to actually maintain connections when you are feeling isolated.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
What are those?
So things like utilizing video calls.
Right.
Which can really help us feel more present with someone.
Visually. Yeah.
Rediscovering this almost lost art of writing letters.
Yeah.
You know, it adds such a personal, thoughtful touch.
Yeah.
And then just something as simple as scheduling regular phone calls.
Right.
Just to have that routine.
Yeah.
And something to look forward to.
Yeah. Those are, I mean, they seem so simple, but those are such powerful.
They are powerful.
Tools.
Yeah.
And while, you know, these personal efforts are really important, the author also talks about the importance of seeking professional help.
Yeah.
When it's needed.
Absolutely. And I think recognizing that sometimes you need more than just your existing social network to navigate these kinds of challenges is a sign of strength and self-awareness.
It's not a weakness to reach out.
No.
Yeah.
Not at all.
And the text talks about how therapy can provide you with tools, strategies for managing difficult emotions.
Mm-hmm.
A safe space to explore.
A non-judgmental space where you can really process.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And some resources are mentioned. Anxious Minds, NHS services.
Yeah.
Just kind of giving people some places that they can go to.
Some options.
Yeah. And I really loved the therapist's quote, healing is not a solo journey.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's about building a network of support.
Yeah.
I mean, that really
encapsulates it beautifully.
It does. It really does. And then the text goes on to talk about the importance of prioritizing self-care.
Yeah.
Especially within your home environment. Mm. This isn't about being selfish. This is about really building a strong foundation.
Absolutely.
For better mental health.
Yeah. And the author stresses this idea of creating a routine that really nurtures both your mental and physical health.
Right.
And they talk about how, you know, they incorporate these healthy daily practices, starting with morning reflection, mm-hmm. some light exercise, just to kind of start the day with positive intention.
Right.
They also talk about engaging in evening reading as a way to kind of unwind mm-hmm. and escape the stresses of the day.
Yeah.
And then actually making a point of attending local events.
Yeah.
Which can really foster that sense of community and purpose.
Right. And it's not just about filling time.
No.
The author connects this to research that shows structured routines can actually improve mental health.
Yeah.
And create those meaningful moments.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's so easy to think of self-care as a luxury.
Yeah.
Or an indulgence.
Yeah.
It's not. It's a necessity.
It is. It's fundamental.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
And then the text goes on to explore some more kind of, I guess you could say, innovative
yeah.
approaches to combat isolation.
Yeah.
It's really about, you know, stepping outside of our comfort zones.
Right.
And thinking a little bit creatively.
Yeah.
About connection. And one that I thought was particularly interesting was this idea of volunteering.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
As a way to connect with your community.
And there's something about helping others
yeah.
that makes you feel good.
Absolutely.
And the author also mentions exploring new hobbies.
Yeah.
You know, they talk about taking up painting.
Yeah, as a creative outlet.
Right. But it can also lead to connections with other people who share that passion.
Exactly. And what's interesting, too, is the author points out that, you know, even virtual experiences
oh, yeah.
can be surprisingly valid and effective ways to engage with the world.
Yeah.
So, you know, things like virtual travel, online classes,
right.
just as a way to kind of connect with people who share your interests from the comfort of your home.
Right.
You know, they give this great example of a virtual cooking class,
oh, that's,
you know, as a way of learning something new, but also connecting with different cultures.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really expands the possibilities for connection.
Yeah.
And then finally, the text talks about embracing a positive mindset.
Mm. Yeah.
And this is huge.
It is.
It's about recognizing the role that our internal self-talk plays.
Yeah.
In either reinforcing or helping us overcome these feelings of isolation.
Absolutely.
And the author talks about talking to yourself with the same kind of care and understanding and compassion that you would offer to a dear friend. Mm. I mean, isn't that a beautiful way to put it?
It is.
And actively challenge those ingrained negative thoughts.
Yeah.
You know, so instead of thinking, no one cares about me.
Yeah.
I'm worthy of connection.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a huge shift.
It is. It's a really powerful internal shift.
Yeah. And the therapist is quoted again, the way you consistently speak to yourself shapes your reality.
Mm-hmm.
Choose words that uplift and empower you rather than diminish and isolate.
Yeah.
And the author mentions practical steps like journaling affirmations,
mm-hmm.
you know, and consciously repeating kind, encouraging phrases.
Yeah, just as ways to kind of cultivate that more positive inner dialogue.
It's about being kind to yourself.
It is.
You're right.
Yeah. And I think managing those feelings of isolation and really the potential for depression really does involve this nurturing this relationship with ourselves,
yeah.
offering that validation, that understanding,
yeah.
and those affirmations.
Yeah.
It's about building that resilience.
So, wow. We've covered a lot of ground.
We have.
But you know what? It's so rich with insights.
Yeah.
I mean, we've explored the link between loneliness and depression, the power of connection, you know, the importance of seeking help when we need it, whether it's from people in our lives or professionals taking care of ourselves. Mm. Creative ways to kind of combat isolation, and the importance of our mindset.
Yeah, embracing that positive mindset.
Yeah, and I love going back to that image.
Yeah.
Of the inward journey of coping. You know, of all of the steps that we've talked about, from sending that text message to exploring a new hobby.
Yeah.
To you know, changing that negative thought to
yeah.
a positive thought. What is it that resonates most with you?
Yeah.
And how can you bring that into your life?
Yeah. What small step can you take today?
Yeah.
To make a difference.
Even amidst the solitude.
Exactly.
It's definitely something to think about.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you.